The Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' And then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. But it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants all of us to have peace in our heart, to realize the meaning of life, and to have fulfillment in it. And that comes by following God's plan. We have Moses in the book of Deuteronomy speaking to the people of God, giving them the commandments, and he says, "Take these words," speaking to the Lord God, "take these words of mine into your heart and in your soul." Not just listen to them, repeat them back, not just in your lips, but into your heart and soul. In other words, let these transform your very lifestyle and your very being. And then Moses says this, "I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." How many here want to be cursed? I don't want that. How many want to receive a blessing? Well, he tells us, "A blessing for obeying the commandments of the Lord your God." He said, if you strive to follow the commandments of the Lord your God, you will receive a blessing. A curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord. Now the thing is, I think about this. Wow. If we're living a life keeping the commandments, we'll be blessed for all eternity. If death catches us not keeping the commandments, we die under a curse for all eternity. So it's very wise and prudent to strive as always to live in the commandments of the Lord. Now, this is Moses speaking to the people of God because he wants them to have the fullness of God's blessing and peace and contentment and meaning in their life. So we have our Lord Jesus Christ. He says right here in the Gospel, "Everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. But everyone who does the word of God, you know, they shall come and they will be with me in the kingdom of heaven." So something that we really have to strive to follow the commandments of the Lord. We're not saved by the commandments, are we? We're saved by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by his dying on the cross, he gives us great graces through the sacraments to keep the commandments and the precepts. Now, to receive that blessing, first we have to know what the commandments are, right? We have to know a little bit of our faith. And then we have to pray for the strength of will to fulfill them. Now, strictly speaking, none of us deserves happiness, especially eternal happiness, strictly speaking. But God, in his great mercy, he reaches down to us, the sinful creatures. That's why St. Paul says, look, if we're looking, well, I haven't sinned, well, that's a lie, St. John says it. But then St. Paul says, look at this. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. So what do? Well, we have to turn towards our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see throughout the scriptures, starting with Adam and Eve, all the way through the end of the book of Revelation, St. John's writing to the seven cities, this cycle of sin, Someone may walk with the Lord, they fall away, things are disastrous, they repent on their knees, and then they come back. You know, look at our own lives, right? How many times have we been like that when we're fervent in the faith? And then as time goes on, it starts waning. You got 1 day, 2 days go by, you're not praying before you know it. Then all of a sudden, by God's grace and His mercy, you respond, and then you start coming back in the right direction. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He reaches out to us daily through the Scriptures, the sacraments, the church, the catechism, but the voice of conscience. And He's tireless in this continued invitation to mercy. Now, the two things we need to do, all of us, you know, realize we're sinners, okay? I think everyone here would admit that, okay? I have sinned, I fall short of the glory of God. But the church says there's two things we need to do is confession and penance. I'm saying that partly in light of Ash Wednesday, Lent about to begin this Wednesday. So confession and penance. So here's some words for those who perhaps been away from the sacrament of confession for a while, for those who go to for encouragement. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, divine mercy, when He appeared to St. Faustina. He says this, and He's speaking, pretend like He's speaking right now individually to you. He's giving these words to Faustina, but He's giving it to her to be His secretary of mercy, He said, for the whole world. When you go to confession, to this fountain of My mercy, the blood and water which came forth from My heart always flows down upon your soul and ennobles it. Picks it up out of the mud and dirt. Every time you go to confession, our Lord says, immerse yourself entirely in My mercy with great trust so that I may pour the bounty of My grace upon your soul. I think one reason that people stay away from the sacrament of divine mercy, the sacrament of confession, God can't forgive me. I'm that big of a sinner. But our Lord says right here, have them come with great trust. When you approach the confessional, know this, our Lord says, that I myself am waiting there for you. It's not Father Parker. It's not Father Barry. It's not Father Trent when he comes, or Father Otting. Jesus Christ says, I myself am waiting for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. I'm going to pause for a second. I have a sense. If anyone here is rejecting confession in your heart, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform your heart so it comes into your heart and your mind. Confession is something given to us by God Himself on Easter Sunday night in John's Gospel. And it's talked about in James chapter 5. Our Lord said, here the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy. Tell souls, and so Lord, I'm doing this. He said this, tell souls that from this fount of mercy, souls draw graces solely with the vessel of trust. If their trust is great, there's no limit to My generosity. The torrents of grace inundate humble souls. The proud remain always in poverty and misery. No, there's no such thing as a happy sinner. They may have a fleeting joy or something like that, but it's not in the depths of our heart. The torrents of grace inundate a humble soul. A humble soul realizes that they're a sinner, we're sinners, that we have to get down on our knees and use the means that Christ gave us for reconciliation with the Father by confessing our sins. The proud always remain in poverty and misery. How many here want to remain in poverty and misery? Ugh, we don't want that, do we? We want happiness, we want contentment, we want fulfillment. Because My grace turns away from them, My grace goes to the humble soul. With Lent coming up, the first thing we need to do is confession. And there's, you know, we have confessions here every single day, and we're going to have a penance service. We have Father Anthony Gramlich giving the parish mission. He's coming. He used to be the director for the last 4 years of the Divine Mercy Shrine in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And I met him in June this past year. And I said, Father Anthony, would you come to our parish and preach the message of Divine Mercy? He said, I'm really big on confession. I said, that's great. So he's going to be coming here March 25th of Friday. He arrives, but the mission will be that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. The schedule's in the bulletin here this weekend. But he'll be coming. We have other special times in addition to our daily confession times. Now, that's the first part. Second is confession is doing penance. And the church says penance is fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. And I have a beautiful letter written by Pope Benedict XVI, the Universal Church, for Lent, Lent 2011, and it's in all the bulletins. So just a quick couple words in there. The Holy Father says, the practices of fasting, almsgiving, and prayer are expressions of our commitment to conversion. So if we're not fasting, if we're not giving alms, we're not practicing prayer, we have nothing in our life expressing a commitment to conversion. Because as you know, conversion is not just a one-time thing. It's something daily that we have to work through. Daily of purification. Our Lord's constantly coming higher. Come higher, my friend. Fasting. The Holy Father says this in a letter. We learn to overcome selfishness in order to live in the logic of gift, giving, and to live. And we learn to turn away from our ego. So if you've ever had people say, hey, you know, you're full of yourself. You're a prideful person. You're egotistic. You're narcissistic, whatever. Fasting is one of the remedies, the Holy Father says. It will help you to overcome selfishness. Now fasting, when we say it right away, we think of the words, we're thinking of food perhaps. But fasting from television, from radio, fasting from overindulgence in computers and everything like that. So fasting. Second, almsgiving. The Holy Father says it gives us strength to overcome the temptations of accumulating. The love of money that undermines God's primacy in our lives. We overcome the idolatry of material things which delude with promises not fulfilled. So he said, people who are dominated by the material things of this world, and I think of some professional athletes, where there's like an emptiness there, and they get into all this kind of different troubles and difficulties and sins they fall into, because they feel they get to that level, and it's delusion. They thought, well, once I get that, I'll be fulfilled, and then they're not. So almsgiving, and we should have this attitude real simply for almsgiving. If someone gives you $100, $10 of that doesn't belong to you. Do you know that? Someone gives you $1,000, $100 of that, it doesn't belong to you. God expects you to give that to the poor, to the church, to charities, people in need. This is part of our faith, you know, almsgiving. And then third, prayer. Holy Father says we nourish the life of faith initiated on the day of our baptism and gives us a true perspective on time and eternity. We're praying. That gives us a true perspective of wisdom. This time is fleeting. Eternity is coming. And I was thinking about this prayer. Have you ever heard the most major problems in relationships occur because of simple misunderstandings or lack of communication? Well, we're supposed to have a personal relationship with Christ, right? If we're not communicating with Him, there's going to be a lot of misunderstandings on our part. We're not going to recognize what God's doing and how He's working and different things going on. We won't be able to accept it. We get angry and things like that. So through by prayer, we have a greater communication with our Lord Jesus. Now, have you remembered in times past, I've done this I think twice, I put it into the bulletin, there's an article on the Mass by Catalina Rivas. It's a mystic approved by her bishop who our Lord's speaking to her about the Mass. Our Lord says this about penances and difficulties and they, all of us, we must learn how to make ourselves comfortable on the cross instead of fleeing from it. They cannot, this is what our Lord says, they cannot long for Tabor, which is the transfiguration, without having first passed through Golgotha. It is on the cross where charity, humility, poverty, spirit, and temperance are learned. It's on the cross. So during this time of Lent, it's about to begin this Ash Wednesday. Different crosses that you already have in your life that you can't really avoid, maybe co-workers or whatever it may be, it's something that the Lord wants you to be comfortable in the sense of embracing it, where you transform it and offer up in a prayer. That's a beautiful thing. St. Peter Alcantara, when he died, he was a man of great mortification. He appeared to St. Teresa of Avila, and his body was just radiating with God's love, His glory, His light. And she said, how did you come to such glory? He said, because of the penances I offered up and I embraced during my life. So these words right here, we all want a blessing in our lives. We don't want a curse. And our Lord gives us a formula for that. Follow my word, take advantage of the sacraments, and it will come, it will grow in you, my blessings. And then you in turn will become a blessing to others. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.